there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden was granted political asylum in Russia today for 1 year. He departed Moscow's airport, where he stayed for 39 days. His Russian lawyer said Mr. Snowden was taken to a safe location, which would remain secret. His father, Lon Snowden, a retired U.S. Coast Guard officer, thanked Vladimir Putin for protecting his son against the U.S. government's efforts to arrest him for disclosing the NSA's vast spying operations. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney refused to say whether the Obama administration ever briefed the U.S. Congress about the NSA's top-secret X-Keyscore program that scoops up vast amounts of phone calls, emails, texts, chats, and social media postings worldwide. President Obama will meet today with a bipartisan group of congressional members to discuss the NSA surveillance operations. London's Guardian published dozens of NSA training slides that divulge X-Keyscore's ability to spy on the vast majority of human communications worldwide. Collected communications are stored on 700 servers at 150 sites around the world. Some sites receive over 20 terabytes of data per day. One slide said nearly 42 billion records had been captured by the NSA in a 30-day period in 2012. NSA Chief General Keith Alexander told a conference of computer hackers that the NSA respects the privacy of Americans and that internal policies prohibit unauthorized examination of private communications. The New York Times reported that Israel failed to destroy an arsenal of Russian-made cruise missiles in a Syrian warehouse on July 5th. The Times said U.S. intelligence analysts estimate that Israeli aircraft struck the warehouse by flying low over the Mediterranean without breaching Syrian airspace. The assessment was that some of the Russian anti-ship missiles were removed from their launchers and taken out of the building before the attack. The unnamed U.S. intelligence analyst also told the Times that Israel is likely to attack Syrian targets again. Israel fears the missiles could get into the hands of Hezbollah in Lebanon. The Russian-made missiles in Syria pose a potent threat to shipping vessels arriving in and departing Israel, as well as vital infrastructure near Israel's coast, including gas reservoirs and electric power stations. The U.S. Navy also considers the Russian missiles a threat to American ships in the region. As the public season hears about new Middle East peace talks in Washington this week, Israeli website Debka.com reported that a series of secret meetings are also being held. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is pressuring Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and Palestinian President Abbas for answers on thorny questions about control of Jerusalem, giving the West Bank to the Palestinians, financial aid to Palestine, and UN or NATO troops enforcing the peace agreement. When the Winter Olympic Games begin in Russia in 2014, homosexual athletes and fans from the USA and Western nations may be arrested if they publicly exhibit homosexual behavior or attempt to promote homosexual propaganda. In response to America's embrace of homosexuality, the Russian parliament banned homosexual relations or the distribution of homosexual propaganda in the presence of children and youth. Violators face steep fines and imprisonment. Vitaly Maidanov, the legislator who championed the anti-gay propaganda law, said homosexuals attending the 2014 Winter Games would not be immune from prosecution during the games while on Russian soil. The International Olympic Committee reacted cautiously, saying that it hopes the games will be safe for gay athletes and fans. The committee said it is seeking assurances from Moscow that arrests will not be made. Brevard County, Florida school officials are defending a world history textbook accused of indoctrinating students with a positive view of Islam. The Prentice Hall World History Book for ninth graders includes a 36-page chapter on Islam, but no chapters on Christianity or Judaism. It describes Muhammad as the messenger of God and explains that jihad is a duty all Muslims must follow. Regarding Jesus, the textbook states that some believed he was the Messiah, but that he was executed. Brevard Public Schools defended the book for providing a balanced view of religion. Well, let's take a short break. Texas Eagle Forum leader Kathy Adams will join me in 1 minute to talk about the Islamic infiltration of America. Later in the program, Boston talk show host Jeff Cooner will inject us with a dose of reality thinking. Don't go away. More to come on this edition of True News.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast.
This is Max McLean. How does the Apostle Paul describe Jesus? Listen to the Bible from Colossians 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. From Colossians 1, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
You are listening to True News, your Christian source for global news, analysis, and commentary. I'm Rick Wiles. In the news segment of today's program, I mentioned the controversy in Brevard County, Florida public schools over a ninth grade world history textbook published by Prentice Hall that includes a large chapter on Islam, but nothing on Christianity. The textbook describes Muhammad as the messenger of God and says jihad is a religious duty of all Muslims. Brevard County adjoins Indian River County, where True News is located. Melbourne, Florida, is approximately 30 miles north of us here in Vero Beach. So right here in a conservative part of Florida, ninth grade high school students are being taught today in public school that Muhammad was a true prophet and jihad is a good thing. The American public does not understand that powerful forces inside federal, state, and local governments, plus the news media and the educational system, are quietly implementing a brainwashing program to indoctrinate the American people to accept Islam in America. We have a stealth Muslim in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama, if that is his real name. He went by Barry Satoru from childhood to his adult days. His first foreign trip in 2009 was to Egypt, where he declared that America is no longer a Christian nation. His administration is the covert hand behind the Arab uprisings throughout the Middle East. He helped orchestrate the Muslim Brotherhood takeover of Egypt. And presently, he's furious that the Egyptian military bravely overthrew his Muslim bros last month. According to former FBI agent John Guandolo, who was a guest here on True News, the new CIA chief John Brennan secretly converted to Islam while stationed in Saudi Arabia. He was recruited and led into Islam by Saudi intelligence agents, according to intelligence sources who spoke directly to former FBI agent Guandolo. Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert said earlier this year that Muslim Brotherhood members have been brought into high levels inside the Obama administration. An Egyptian magazine claims six American Muslims who work with the Obama administration are Muslim Brotherhood operatives. Two of them are inside Homeland Security. 2 weeks ago, a high-ranking Egyptian official accused U.S. Ambassador to Egypt, Ann Patterson, of being a member of a Muslim Brotherhood secret cell. And let's not forget Benghazi. Last fall, former CIA covert operations manager Claire Lopez said on True News that she was told by her sources in U.S. intelligence that Mr. Obama was running weapons and rockets out of Benghazi to arm al-Qaeda jihadists fighting the Syrian government. In fact, it's commonly acknowledged by even the lame brain news media that most of the Syrian rebels supported by the U.S. and the West are al-Qaeda and other dangerous jihadists. Yet it is accepted that it is now normal for the U.S. to arm al-Qaeda. Mrs. Kathy Adams is on the telephone from Texas to share her thoughts about how things got this crazy in America. She is a well-known conservative crusader in the Lone Star State. She is the former chairperson of the Texas Republican Party. She is the national committee woman from Texas to the national committee of the Republican Party. She is also the international issues chairwoman for the Eagle Forum. And she's traveled to many nations over the years to observe various global conferences and summits that seek to implement global governance. This is her first time on True News. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you, and I am so grateful to be talking to Floridians.
Yes.
Folks from a very good state and lots of conservative ideas going on over there. So
it is.
I'm very, very grateful.
There are a lot of conservatives in the wonderful state of Florida, and a lot of Floridian ranchers claim, Kathy, and I don't know, I've not verified this, I'm just telling you what they claim. They claim there's more cattle in Florida than Texas.
I don't know. Well, you know, I have a lot of friends who are ranchers in Texas, and they love the work, and it's just an absolutely amazing thing.
That's right. And they have rodeos in Florida.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I miss rodeos after moving away from Texas. And they have rodeos in Florida. So, I mean, I'll tell you what, my daughter Carissa, when she first moved here, she described the conservative parts of Florida. She said, "Dad, these people are Texans in shorts." That sounds good, doesn't it?
It does. That's great.
All right. Well, listen, Kathy, we're talking about the what I call the old America, the one that used to exist, used to be normal. But what I said in the introduction, this is the new America. I mean, right here, just a few miles north of us in Brevard County, Melbourne, Florida, they got textbooks in high schools today talking about Islam. Jihad is a good thing. It's a duty. Muhammad is the messenger of God. And yet the only reference to Jesus was some believed he was a Messiah, but he was executed. That was it. I mean,
That's tragic.
Public schools. Kathy, what is going on in America?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that that's happening in Florida, but just to reassure you that this is a national phenomenon. It's also happened in Texas. And when parents saw this, and it was being done, of course, behind their backs, then light was shined on it, and the entire curriculum, we and Texas have not adopted the Common Core curriculum, which is Barack Obama's curriculum for every school child across America, but we have something that was written by some of his friends called Common Core. And so... well, it's not the Obama curriculum. It's written by some of the same people and some of the same materials, and we've had the Islamic influence here, too. The other Islamic influence in our public schools is something that is happening in the charter school system, and they're called Harmony schools that are Turkish in origin, and... The members and the founders are also linked to Gulen. If you mention the Imam Gulen's name in Turkey, everyone knows that he is an unacceptable character who buys into many of the things that were thrown out of Turkey by Ataturk, a man who greatly westernized Turkey. But today, these harmony schools are propagating across our country, and the ultimate goal is to get students to go to Turkey to embrace the Islamic culture and the Turkish ideals, not American ideals. This is just totally unacceptable. So we have not just this curriculum coming from the federal government, we also have harmony schools coming in from an imam out of Turkey.
Kathy, why are local school administrators even accepting this kind of curriculum and textbooks in their schools?
We're all trying to find ways to revive the public school system. In Texas, many of the public schools are abysmal failures. Students are not learning. And as a matter of fact, I was at a restaurant in the Austin area of Texas, which is our capital, and one of the waitresses was telling me how disappointed she was that her son could not write his name. And I said, well, that doesn't come until maybe, second, third grade. What grade is your son? She said he's a sophomore in high school, and he could not write his name in cursive.
He was a sophomore?
A sophomore in high school. And so our schools are failing, and we need something to revive them. And so many people are reaching out to these different ideas. One of them is called charter schools. Those charter schools still receive taxpayer dollars. They are public schools because they do receive those dollars, and the regulations are greatly lessened in order to allow the freedom for them to be able to teach the children. This is how the Harmony schools came in. They said, we will teach the children. We will make these schools very strong in science and math. Give us state taxpayer money, and we will establish schools that work. So that is the guise under which they came, but there is an ulterior motive, as I say, and it is to teach Islam, and this is a radical kind of Islam, not the Muslims that many who live across the globe, but the radical Islamist type of Islam, and it's a very desperate thing to be bringing that to our children. Just like, and you and I understand this, just like we grew up knowing the difference between right and wrong, we knew even that homosexual behavior was unnatural and unhealthy. That was just a given. But today, our children, because of public school textbooks and brainwashing, now are thinking, oh, well, just let them go and live and let live, because they don't know how to argue against that. And so brainwashing is happening in our schools, whether it be Islam, whether it be immoral behavior, and we as parents have got to take back our role, our responsibility to oversee a better education for our children.
Kathy, from your vantage point on the Republican National Committee, are you seeing any troubling signs inside the Republican Party that certain certain leaders of the Republican Party would like to recruit and bring Muslims into the party?
Oh, absolutely, that is the case. Now, I am a former member of the RNC and former chairman.
Okay, so you're not on the RNC now.
No, I am not.
Okay.
But we have to know that Karl Rove, who is very much in support of the amnesty that the U.S. Senate has passed and the U.S. House is looking at, and also a very well-funded man by the RNC today. And yet we look at his record of win-losses in the last election, and it was abysmal. It was a failure across the board. And yet this man, aligned with one of his friends by the name of Grover Norquist, have brought into mainstream this idea that, well, the reason why George W. Bush won his last election was because of the Muslim vote. And, I mean, that could have been said about any persons in this country who want to separate themselves, to be identified separate from mainstream Americans. I don't even like that kind of an idea. We are Americans, and we are a melting pot, unlike other places around the world. And so for people to come in with this notion, well, the reason George W. Bush won his last election is because of the Muslim vote, I think is a very unfair and and truly not a well thought out or well researched or a statement that could even be proven true. And so this is very wrong. But also, we've got to look at who is crossing our borders. We have, crossing our southern border, being a border state as we are in Texas, we have about 50,000 other than Mexicans who crossed our border within 1 year. Those people that were apprehended were from countries like Indonesia. Of course, that's an Islamic, just very fierce fighting Islamic government. We have Pakistanis coming across, people from the Philippines, Somalia, Tunisia, Uzbekistan.
Coming across the Mexican border into Texas.
Yes. So if we have amnesty, as the U.S. Senate is now promoting, and even former governor of Florida, Jeb Bush, is supporting, and the Bushes altogether, as well as Karl Rove, as I'm saying, then we're going to be giving amnesty not just to poor Mexicans who are looking for jobs, but we're giving amnesty, we're giving all of the American privileges to people who are not here with the best intentions for America and really not an interest in assimilating and becoming part of the American melting pot. If they were, then they would not be coming here illegally. Furthermore, they would not be coming on visas and overstaying their visas, breaking our laws. Lawbreakers are not the kind of people that we then turn around and give all the privileges of American citizenship. And yet that is being promoted by many. We've got to understand that these are not just poor Mexicans. These are people coming across from many different countries. We also have this issue of visas. And we've lost, I think, the latest nonsense I saw from the Homeland Security Department was something like a million people that have come here on visas that we have no idea where they are. And I think
about that. Homeland Security has lost a million. They've lost track of a million foreigners in this country, but they've got my email.
Well, and furthermore, if they say a million, we've got to know that that is a number that they just pulled out of thin air. We have no idea how many people are here that have overstayed their visas and how long this has been going on, and there's been no good system in place for us to welcome visitors and then to see that they are living under our laws by also exiting our nation when their visas
Okay, but do you know where they're taking us with this? Because they said the solution to all these lost foreigners in the country, the solution is biometric scanning. That's where they're taking us, Kathy.
Yeah, well, and I do understand that. I've seen it. I've heard it. And, of course, we know in biblical prophecy that that is the end time. That is going to be the brand either on our foreheads or on the back of our hands. That is demonic through and through. That is end times prophecy. There is no question about that. But, you know, another group of people that are coming into our country as refugees are others that are mostly from Muslim, Buddhist, and Hindu cultures. These are people who are not here because they love America, but because they are fleeing countries. And yet, what kind of culture are they bringing here? They want Sharia law just like what they left that was causing them to be persecuted.
The State Department is bringing Somalians into the United States, putting them in small towns in Indiana and Kansas and Nebraska. Now they're bringing tens of thousands of Syrian Muslims into the United States.
Yes, they are. And then you add Buddhists and Hindus, and what you are doing is exactly what Barack Hussein Obama promised to do, fundamentally transform the United States of America. He's spending us into oblivion in order to destroy our economy. He is implementing the green agenda in order to destroy our jobs. And he is exporting through even more trade agreements manufacturing jobs, which is further weakening us. And if we cannot manufacture our own national defense equipment, then we are going to be subject to the whims and wills of the tyrants around this globe, and we know that there are many of them out there that need to be dealt with, and yet we have a president today who is bowing before them, apologizing to them. We as Americans are going to have to take back our country, and it starts on our knees, because this country is great because of our Judeo-Christian culture, our Western civilization, and we've got to return to that and ask for God's blessings to return upon America.
Kathy, in 2010, frightened, outraged Americans who saw what Barack Hussein Obama was doing to this country went out in large numbers and kicked the Democrats out of the House of Representatives. The Republicans had the biggest House victory since the 1920s. John Boehner became the Speaker of the House. And absolutely nothing happened. Nothing changed.
Well, you asked me earlier about the RNC and do I see problems there? You betcha I do. When we have a chairman who comes up with some notion called an autopsy, and he puts the fox in charge of the hen house, and who wrote that? The very people who want to destroy what America is, our Western civilization, our Judeo-Christian culture. And to say that we're going to have amnesty, to say that we're going to have to embrace immoral homosexual behavior, and it's not tolerating it, it is embracing it, it is condoning it, it is mainstreaming it. That is what they are demanding. And when that becomes part of the Republican Party, then the grassroots feel that they are being repulsed from that party. That's why we're hearing notions about a third party. I think what we're going to have to do instead, that will just give everything over to the Democratic Party, and that's the wrong direction. I think we're going to have to get out of our pews. We're going to have to get off of our sofas and out of our easy chairs and get out there in the political arena and take back the Republican Party.
Do you really think it's possible?
I absolutely do think it is possible, and the reason I say that is because it's been done before. When Ronald Reagan came along, we were so disheartened as Americans. We were left with very weak national defense because of Jimmy Carter. And
think about it. It would actually be refreshing to have Carter back right now. That's how bad things are in this country. I mean, if we just had Carter back, it wouldn't be as bad as Barack Hussein Obama.
You talk about our southern flank being weakened. I mean, the giveaway of the Panama Canal by Jimmy Carter is something that is leaving quite a legacy that is now being built up. The Chi-Coms, of course, own both ends of the Panama Canal, and it's going to be much more able to be able to put through bigger ships, the Chinese ships, that now cannot even get through the Panama Canal. So we are weakening our national defenses in so many different ways, and it's not been just one party that's done it, but we the people came out with the Tea Party idea just in recent history. These are wonderful people. They're God-fearing people. They may not be Christians and Jews, but they're God-fearing people, and most of them are people of faith, and they're just absolutely patriotic Americans.
But don't you think that the Tea Party movement was infiltrated by the Republican Party and big business, and that they got inside and began to steer it and change its direction? I mean, that's the perspective I saw on it.
Well, some of them have. Some of the Tea Parties have. But the greatest thing about the Tea Parties is that most of them are still independent. We have one or two in Texas that are more libertarian than they are conservative. So, you know, they have their own identity. But the majority of them in Texas are really the kind of people that I saw coming out in the late 80s when Pat Robertson ran for president. And you didn't have to agree with him theologically, but you did have to know that this was good for America to return to what our founders believed, this Judeo-Christian culture, Western civilization, what made America great. And I think that the Tea Parties can be the thrust for us to return to those kind of thinkers, people who were motivated by what was right, not by a party, not by some other person, but by a philosophy that is consistent with our nation's founding.
Kathy, I've got about 90 seconds remaining. Several months ago, the United Nations passed the Global Gun Control Treaty. Barack Obama was supposed to sign it, even without Senate ratification, but so far, I've heard nothing that he ever signed the treaty. Have you heard anything about this treaty?
No, but we know with him, he doesn't have to sign a law. He doesn't have to even sign a treaty. This man, by executive power, is so abusive. Everything from czars to implementing the DREAM Act to now even openly proclaiming that he's going to have to go around Congress and get things done. That is something that he should be called to account for. We need a stronger Speaker of the House, and I will come out and just make that very strong proclamation that I am ready to see a new Speaker of the House. John Boehner is not up to the job. I think he is a nice man, but I don't think that he is a leader, and he has proven that. And we need a leader. And in the United States Senate, I'm so grateful for Ted Cruz, a gift that Texas has given to the entire nation.
Absolutely. Ted Cruz, outstanding member of the U.S. Senate. Any suggestions for a new Speaker of the House?
Well, I think that strength will rise up. I think Eric Cantor tried something like a coup a few months ago. Obviously, they would rather have a nice man in John Boehner than they would Eric Cantor. And so let's not go there. I think that they will come up with their own leadership. I absolutely have greatest respect for Louie Gohmert, also a Texas gentleman and a man who is a former judge in Texas and a straight shooter and on lots of talk shows and television. People know who he is. He'd be a great leader.
Yes, he would. And if Mr. Boehner does lose his job as Speaker, Barack Obama always needs a golf caddy. And he could get that job. My guest today, Kathy Adams from the state of Texas, Eagle Forum. Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate you being on True News today.
Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, this is True News.
Are you sometimes hesitant to approach God? Dr. Stanley says believers don't have to be apprehensive at all. Here's today's moment with Charles Stanley.
The Bible says that when Jesus ascended, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. The whole book of Hebrews is all about the crucifixion and the atoning death of Jesus and the sacrifice and the shed blood and so forth. Went to sit at the Father's right hand. Imagine coming to that kind of throne of absolute pure holiness. You see, our human mind can't conceive of something that is absolutely sinless and perfect because we've never seen anybody like that. And we will not until we die and meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming to that throne, we could not. But here's what he says. The throne of grace, you can come. Why? Because he's opened the way. The only way to the throne of grace is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And our desire is that everybody may understand that the true, genuine God of the Scriptures and his Son, Jesus Christ, the message is a message of grace and love and kindness toward us.
Learn how Jesus Christ offers you access to God. Visit us at intouch.org.
This is segment 3 of True News. Are you grateful for alternative media sources? I hope so, and I hope you don't take True News for granted. One of our guests said last week, and it was Egyptian Christian Raymond Ibrahim. He said on this program, he said, people will become stupid if they continue watching mainstream TV news channels. And, you know, that's not an exaggeration. All of the news channels are pumping out sophisticated propaganda 24/7. And the delusionary fog is really thick these days. Millions of people have breathed in the fumes, and they have fallen asleep. And they have no sense of reality other than what the TV screen tells them is real. Let me give you a quick example of today's daily dose of propaganda. Now, yesterday, bankster Ben Bernanke's criminal gang at the Federal Reserve said that they would keep the printing presses running to pump out funny money to buy bonds and securities because They are worried about disinflation. First of all, what in the world is disinflation? I thought there was only inflation and deflation. Now there's disinflation. They can't say the D word because deflation is connected to depression. But I was educated yesterday by an investor who told me that disinflation is when the rate of inflation decreases. Okay, whatever. To me, it's deflation. Anyway, Bankster Ben said yesterday he would keep pumping funny money into the market because he's worried that the U.S. economy is showing signs of sluggishness. In other words, after printing trillions of dollars, he still can't kickstart the economic engine. Now, this morning, I read that the stock markets are soaring today because of all the better-than-expected economic news that was released last night showing the U.S. economy is growing. Then later I read on Bloomberg today that speculation increased today that the Fed will slow the pace of quantitative easing and their fiscal stimulus this fall. All right, so which is it? The Fed is keeping the spigot on because the economy is slowing down, or the markets are soaring because the economy is proving, but wait, the Fed will taper QE because things are looking good. All this within 24 hours. Listen, here's what they're doing. The government and the media are deliberately putting out so much conflicting news. It is to keep you and me confused so nobody knows what those thieves and criminals are really doing in Washington. So what I have found is that discerning and dissecting the propaganda in the news is a full-time job. I like what Swiss investor Mark Faber said the other day. He was alluding to the fact that the people running the world are crazy. And Mark said, the problem is insane people don't know they're insane. Well, Mr. Jeffrey Kuhner knows political insanity when he sees it. Jeff is back on the radio. He is the host of a very popular morning drive program in Boston. And so all of our Boston area True News listeners, you should tune in to the Kuhner Report Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Boston's WRKO AM 680. Jeff, have you seen any political insanity this week?
It just doesn't end. I mean, Rick, I mean, I feel like I'm living in an insane asylum.
Well, don't you? Hey, do you know where the Homeland Security, they're moving their headquarters to an insane asylum? It doesn't get any funnier than this.
I mean, Rick, we're living through some very scary times. I mean, look, here's what we have. We have two potential nominees for the Republican presidential primary, Chris Christie and Rand Paul, really front runners, no question about it. And there's now a growing civil war within the Republican Party. And what you're seeing, I believe, Rick, is the attempt now of Republican elites, of the establishment Republican Party, which has been in bed with the Democrats, with the ruling class, over the last several decades, the ones who gave us NAFTA, the ones who've given us an out-of-control Federal Reserve, the ones who've helped compile trillions upon trillions upon trillions in debt and deficits, the one who gave us the disastrous wars overseas, the people who have been giving us the welfare warfare state, they now want Chris Christie to be the next Republican nominee. They see him as a moderate. They see him as a man who's popular in a blue state like New Jersey. They think he can appeal to independents. They think he can appeal to women. They think he can appeal to Democrats. And so they're going to go again. They're going to walk the plank, as they did with John McCain in 2008, as they did with Mitt Romney in 2012. And so they have to stop the man that's standing in the way. And the man that's standing in the way is Rand Paul. And Paul is in many ways diametrically opposite of Chris Christie. He is a scathing critic of Obama. He is a staunch constitutional conservative. He wants to repeal the Federal Reserve. He wants to put America first in terms of its foreign policy. He wants to slash over $600 billion from government spending. And most importantly, he wants to roll back the national surveillance security state that is slowly stripping away our Fourth Amendment, our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, our basic civil liberties, and our basic privacy. And what we've now seen over the last, I would say, 6 months are stunning revelations about the NSA. We now have seen over the last 12 years the growth of a soft police state in the United States were led by the National Security Agency, along with Homeland Security, along with the CIA, along with this massive bureaucracy that has been built up in Washington. We now know the government is now arbitrarily, without any authorization, without any warrants, willy-nilly spying on tens and tens of millions of Americans. They're going through our emails. They're going through our phone records. They're going through our browsing activity. They're looking at what internet sites we visit. They're going after our social media, what we're saying on Facebook, what we're saying on Twitter. And the only man who is really leading the charge, there are others, there's Ted Cruz, there's Senator Mike Lee from Utah, there's Congressman Walter Jones, North Carolina Republican, there's Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, who's actually anti-war and pro-civil liberties. There's a few of them. But the man that's really leading the charge is Rand Paul. And for this, he is now being crucified by Republicans. You now have Chris Christie calling him dangerous. You have John McCain calling Rand Paul a wacko bird. You now have Kelly Ayotte and Lindsey Graham attacking Rand Paul as two extremists, two out of the mainstream. You have National Review. You have Michael Gerson in the Washington Post, establishment conservative writers and publications, the Wall Street Journal editorial page, now looking to demonize Rand Paul. And they're looking to do to him what they did to Sarah Palin before, and frankly, what was done to John Kerry.
Did you hear Sarah Palin several weeks ago on Fox News admit that during the 2008 presidential campaign, when she was the vice presidential nominee with John Rhino McCain, she said, "I was not allowed to tell the truth about Barack Obama." She actually said it on Fox News.
Oh, I know. She admitted it. I mean, she let the cat out of the bag.
She sure did. She said the Republican Party elite would not allow me to tell the truth about Barack Obama. I was shocked that she said it on national TV.
I mean, and they swift-boated Sarah Palin, and now they're going to be swift-boating Rand Paul. And to his credit, Rand Paul is fighting back. And this is why, Rick, I have a lot of optimism. Because this is stunning. Usually they win. Usually the elites are able to gang up like a bunch of thugs, like a bunch of bullies, and pound somebody into submission. But this time, the New Jersey school bully, that fat slob, went up against Rand Paul, and he got punched in the face. He got punched right in the chops. He's got a glass jaw. Rand Paul shot right back and said the obvious point that I was urging him to make the whole time. I had Rand Paul on my show. I said, you tell Chris Christie, why don't you go in front of the victims of 9/11 and their families and tell them why are they suspects because 19 hijackers decided to take over four planes and slam them into the Pentagon and into the World Trade Center? Why are their emails being read? Why are their phone calls being listened to? Why is their internet activity being tracked? Why suddenly now are 313 million Americans now considered suspects, guilty until proven innocent, because you won't stand up to the Saudis, you won't profile Muslim extremists, you won't stand up to Saudi Arabia and seal our borders? And so when Rand Paul came out swinging and said, I'm not going to throw away the Bill of Rights and the Constitution just because you tell me so, today it's a very different Chris Christie. Like a bully who's been slapped in the face, then he goes on New Jersey radio and almost, Rick, forgive me, but wah, like a child crying, saying, I never called Rand Paul any names. Why is he calling me King of Bacon? Why is he insulting my pork barrel spending? Why is he attacking me on the NSA? I just wanted to have an honest policy discussion. No, you were trying to smear and slander him, hiding behind a disgusting cloak of 9/11. And like a typical bully, when you got punched in the mouth, you're running home and crying to your mother. He has broken Chris Christie.
You know,
he
Jeff,
has shown him to be a hollow man who can be stood up to. And I got to tell you, Rick, I think Rand Paul is now the front runner for 2016. And they're going to try to destroy him. But this coalition of middle America, of the country class, that is now defending him and rallying around him, I believe is the middle American revolution that we've been looking for.
What would you think of a Rand Paul Ted Cruz ticket?
I think it'd be dynamite. I think it'd be very tough to beat. I think there's a lot of combinations. I think you have Rand Paul, Alan West. I think you can do a lot of stuff with multiple combinations.
But will the elitist Republicans ever allow it to happen?
I think they're going to have no choice. I think opinion polls now show that, and I think it's thanks to people like you, to me, to talk radio, because we're getting the word out. But opinion polls now show that now a majority of Americans, for the first time, view the greatest threat to our national security is the assault on privacy from the government, not terrorism.
Didn't this NSA scandal really smoke out the establishment Republicans? It brought them out. It showed it showed their colors.
It did. It really did. I think they don't realize, but this was an actual watershed. So when you have John Boehner voting with Nancy Pelosi, when you have Eric Cantor voting with, or Mitch McConnell voting with the likes of
Feinstein,
Obama,
yeah,
then you realize who's on your side and who isn't. And I think that they don't realize what Rand Paul is doing is this. He's appealing to the youth vote. He's got senior citizens. He's appealing to the middle class. He's appealing to working Americans. He's now laying together a political coalition that reminds me a lot of the Reagan Revolution. And he's putting together different pieces. And it's going to be based around individual liberty. It's going to be based around limited government. It's going to be based around sound money. It's going to be based around attacking the Federal Reserve. It's going to be based around protecting civil liberties. He's opposing the Gang of Eight immigration bill. You go on issue after issue after issue. He's going to get constitutionalists. He's going to get independents. He's going to get libertarians. He's going to get anti-war people. He's going to get fiscal hawks. He's going to get deficit hawks. He is putting together a very formidable coalition. And to their horror, the people, and especially grassroots Republicans, side with Rand Paul. And that's why, mark my words, Rick, they are going to forget what they did to Sarah Palin. That was bad. You're going to see an unprecedented assault against Rand Paul. And I think in the end, it's going to fail.
You know, when Chris Christie first came on the scene, I really didn't pay attention to the guy. But then one night, this is sometime in, I don't know, November, December of 2011, the Republican primaries were just gearing up to start in January 2012. And Susan and I were in a hotel one weekend. I forget where we were at. And anyhow, she had the television on. And Oprah Winfrey was interviewing Chris Christie. And I could care less about Oprah Winfrey or Chris Christie, but I sat there for a moment and watched it. And this is what he said that really got my attention. She asked him, how much pressure did you come under to enter the Republican race for president? And he said, oh, it was incredible, tremendous pressure. And she said, give us an example. And he blurted out, he said, Henry Kissinger came to see me. And that made me sit up. And I went, whoa, wait a minute. Air Kissinger showed up? The godfather of the New World Order showed up at Chris Christie's home to personally persuade Chris Christie to enter the race for president. And that also told me, Jeff, because I certainly wasn't a Romney fan. But it said something to me. I said, wait a minute. I was thinking Romney was the establishment candidate here in this race. And what he's saying is the establishment really wasn't happy with Governor Mitt Romney. They were trying to get Chris Christie to enter the race. But I think it was a very interesting admission from Governor Christie that he is the favored candidate of Air Kissinger.
Well, he's actually to the left of Romney. Romney's a fairly moderate, he's a rhino, he's a fairly moderate Republican. But Chris Christie's even more to the left. Essentially, he will manage the welfare state. This is what he's done in New Jersey. He'll trim a little here, he'll trim a little there, he'll nibble around the edges, kind of hold the line on taxes. But on social issues, he's an agnostic. He's basically an open borders free trade Republican, which is why they love him. He's a hawk on foreign policy. He's basically a neoconservative, which is why they love him. And so he's essentially somebody that will not upset the power structure in America or in Washington, D.C. And so if you're going to have a Republican, he's your man. In fact, in some ways, for example, on the environment, he's to the left of Mitt Romney. On social issues, he's to the left of Mitt Romney. He is your typical country club Republican. So this is why the establishment was even more comfortable with Christie than with Romney. And the other thing they didn't like about Romney was the fact that he was a Mormon. And so they felt, well, as a Mormon, he may be perceived as out of the mainstream. He's more socially conservative than Chris Christie. So they preferred Christie over Romney. But this is why they're galvanizing around Chris Christie. And the fact that he has been so thoroughly eviscerated by Rand Paul and shown to be a petulant child and adolescent. Now, maybe the Beltway elites love him. But his support may be thick on top, but it is thin on the ground. And my prediction, Rick, is this. Chris Christie will not even get double digits in Iowa or New Hampshire. I have a lot of callers from New Hampshire on my show. And when I had Rand Paul on just a couple days ago, the lines, Rick, were jammed. The texts were flooding in. The emails were pouring in. Not one person supported Chris Christie. They were all Rand Paulistas. So something is happening in our culture. Something is changing underneath us. And you can see the desperation, Rick, when somebody like John McCain openly says that he's considering voting for Hillary Clinton in 2016. Now, I'm looking at this.
Well, he probably voted for Obama in 2008. I want to ask you this, sure. Because we got about roughly 4 minutes here. This NSA scandal, I think most of us have known the government is spying on us, and what Edward Snowden did was validate it. I mean, here was somebody on the inside of the NSA bringing out specific information, saying it's worse than you ever imagined. How close are we, Jeff? Have we already gone over into a full-blown police state? Will the national security apparatus ever let go of the power that they have?
I mean, Rick, it's a $64,000 question. We're no longer a constitutional republic. I think that's now clear. We have an out-of-control executive. We have a president drunk on power. He is like a drunken Roman emperor. Our constitution and our liberties are being trampled every day. They're lying to the American people. You have the director of national intelligence, James Clapper, lie under oath, lie to Congress blatantly about the fact that he had no idea what the NSA was doing when he knew all along, and even admitted a week later, well, it was a lie, but it was the best lie I could come up with. So we are now seeing the growth of an Orwellian Big Brother state. The difference is, unlike Germany, unlike Russia, unlike China, unlike countries around the world, we still have very deep traditions rooted in individual liberty and constitutional government. Our founding principles are still revered by large swaths of the American people.
But they know who reveres it. This is the point I'm making. They now know precisely who is who and what people are thinking and saying. Will they ever permit a challenge to their power?
I mean, look, we're going to find out in the next 2 to 3 years. And really, Rick, I believe that we're now living through some of the greatest moments or most pivotal moments in American history. And now the burden of defending liberty has fallen on our shoulders. And it's from 1776 to the Civil War to the 1930s throughout the Cold War, but now it's our turn, our generation's turn. And we're going to find out what this country is made of. My big fear is that maybe we're too far gone. But I got to tell you, there is a resistance growing. It is getting stronger every day. And the more that we expose, the more that we uncover, sunlight is the best disinfectant, the more revolted many Americans are becoming. We have the truth. And that is a very powerful weapon. And as long as we keep speaking it, I think we can overthrow these elites. But, Rick, it's going to take everything we have.
I agree. And, you know, I think Obama's re-election was as legitimate as this week's re-election of Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe.
Well,
I mean, do you really think anybody went out and voted to re-elect Mugabe?
Well, look, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I thought that there was a lot of voter fraud that clearly took place in the election. I know for a fact in New Hampshire that they had people they were busing in illegal immigrants. The night before the election in Manchester, you had nobody spoke Spanish. You had hotels full of illegals. They had them vote, and they had them leave. We've also found out in New Hampshire, I had this on my show, I think, a week ago, where it was now come out that you had people from out of state would come into New Hampshire and 2 or 3 weeks before the election register as residents of New Hampshire. And they would go 9, 10, 11 to a Democrat's house and claim that house as their residence. So there was ballot stuffing going on. There was illegal voting going on. There was electoral fraud going on. So if they did it in New Hampshire, and if they did it in Ohio, and if they did it in Pennsylvania, I believe they did it in many other parts of the country.
I do too.
I believe this president is illegitimate.
He was illegitimate, when he arrived in the United States. He's been illegitimate the whole time. And your wife just wrote a fantastic article about it, too.
That's right. The document that he used to claim that somehow his birth certificate is legitimate is now, by forensic experts, been blown apart and exposed as a forgery. There's no getting around that.
And Boehner knows, it, and the Supreme Court justices know it, the military knows it, the FBI knows it, the CIA knows it, and they're all going along with it, Jeff. We're in a banana republic.
I'd like to live in a first world country again, Rick.
I know. I used to think it would be fun to move to a third world nation. And I think, why spend the money moving? I'm already in one.
Rick, if we lose this battle, maybe you and I will go to Mexico. The weather's warmer, the tequilas are better, the beaches are nicer. If you're going to have a third world dictatorship, what the hell?
I know. Why not? Well, I appreciate Jeff Cooner being on the program today. And everybody in Massachusetts, if you are in range of WRKO AM 680, Jeff is on the radio every Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. What hours, man. The morning drive time, waking up. Bostonians, WRKO AM 680, Monday through Friday. Jeff Cooner. Hey, there's our closing music. I want to thank you for being on the program today. And
it's my pleasure. God bless you.
Yes, sir, Jeff. Take care. See ya. And to everybody listening, we thank you for tuning in today. And, hey, you know that newsletter I've been promising you? I finally have it written, and we're going to send it out tomorrow. So you will have my newsletter, very, 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 very important newsletter. Those who are on the email list will be the first to hear something that I'm going to share tomorrow. So make sure you check it out. If you're not a subscriber, go to truenews.com, enter your email address in the box at the right hand upper corner of truenews.com. It's absolutely free to subscribe, and you'll be the first to know what we're doing here at True News. I think you're going to like it. I hope you do. Praise God. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow. We love you. Bye.